My head is still spinning over the weekend that was in combat sports. You had Kimbo versus Tank, Pavlik Taylor 2, and of course, Floyd Mayweather Jr.'s shocking appearance at the WWE No Way Out pay-per-view. My good friends over at Fight Network Radio were kind enough to invite me on Tuesday to break down all the great action, but I really felt as though we only scratched the surface, especially when considering the Mayweather storyline. So I decided to bring Fight Network Radio to JerryPark.com and invite the producer of Live Audio Wrestling and FNR, the prodigy himself, John Pollock, to share his thoughts on Money May's arrival in the world of wrestling and what to expect in the next 5 weeks leading up to the granddaddy of them all. What's going on, John?
It's going pretty well, Ariel. Thanks again for having me back on.
Yeah, it's great to talk with you, one of the brightest minds in the wrestling journalism world, and so much to talk about in the combat sports world. Before we get to all the Mayweather stuff, Mauro on the show on Tuesday touched on this, but I'm actually trying to think, is there ever been a better time, and I'm sure you know because you work in Fight Network, you know, you guys cover everything of combat sports, ever been a better time as far as combat sports where all three major sports, and obviously MMA is kind of new to the game, but where they were so hot all at the same time, boxing, mixed martial arts, wrestling, I can't think of one, you?
Yeah, I mean, really looking back at this past weekend, Ariel, I mean, you cover this just as much as we do, and you look at the events over the weekend, and you know, 9 times out of 10, I think we cover so much stuff that it really takes a special event to really get your hopes up and not be so jaded to it. But this past weekend, you know, whether you were watching Pavlik Taylor 2 or Street Certified, and then Sunday night, I figured, you know, we got two good events Saturday night. I'm happy. And then all of a sudden, No Way Out comes out, and I thought it was a tremendous pay-per-view. It seems both WWE pay-per-views this year, I thought, have been home runs from the company, and it has built so well for WrestleMania with the Floyd Mayweather angle, which I think in the next 5 weeks, let's hope they don't drop the ball with it, because I can't think of an angle in the last 5-10 years that has had so much interest coming out of it that did with Mayweather on Sunday.
I couldn't agree with you more. I would look back to January of 98, Mike Tyson's arrival in WWE. That was the last time I was this excited about an angle, and you touched on it. There were two great events on Saturday night, and then you had No Way Out, and by that point, I was all combat sportsed out. I was almost tired of seeing guys beat each other up, and I never would have expected that, you know, come Sunday night, 12 a.m. or Monday morning, that I would be reeling over the WWE pay-per-view. I surely expected it to be maybe Elite XC or boxing, but WWE is on my mind right now, and that's really what I want to talk to you about. Floyd Mayweather Jr. making his appearance at No Way Out. I thought he was just going to, you know, make that little run-in with Rey Mysterio before the match, and that was it. We'd probably see him sitting on the sidelines. Never expected anything like what we saw with him and Big Show. Did you have any inclination that there were talks behind the scenes of getting Floyd Mayweather involved in WrestleMania?
No, and I think that was part of the reason I think this worked so effectively, was that nobody knew that Floyd Mayweather was in talks with the WWE. I mean, right now behind the scenes in the WWE, it's almost a lockdown mode where they are really going out of their way to try and present these surprise pops. We got it at the Royal Rumble with John Cena, and then February with Floyd Mayweather Jr., and I think there's a concerted effort now to keep everything as quiet as possible, and now we're hearing, you know, Shane McMahon has been working on this deal for a number of months, and, you know, covering wrestling, it's almost impossible to keep something quiet for that amount of time. So kudos to Shane McMahon, and I thought the angle, I don't think you could have executed it any better on Sunday. I think the Big Show, I mean, we are seeing now that the original idea was to put Mysterio in that role, but really, looking at things, I think Big Show is perfect for this role as the giant bully to Floyd Mayweather. My only concern, and we got a hint of this on Monday, is if the crowd's going to turn on Floyd Mayweather, because, I mean, his promo left a little to be desired on Monday, and I can really see the fans almost turning on Floyd in favor of Big Show with the boxing versus wrestling dynamic.
Yeah, I touched on this on Jerry Park and on Fight Network Radio. I was a little bit disappointed with Monday's build of the angle, and only because we've come to expect so much from Floyd Mayweather in his unscripted promos, you know, leading up to the Hatton bout and the De La Hoya bout, and it seemed as though he was trying a little too hard, maybe overacting just a bit. And I'm sure in the next couple of weeks he'll calm down and get those jitters out of the way. But, you know, you brought up a great point. You know, in this day and age of the Wrestling Observer and like you said, live audio wrestling, there are not a lot of surprises out there in wrestling, and this was a truly big surprise. So if you were booking this angle right now, it's very fresh. You know, we've had the pay-per-view run-in. We had Monday Night Raw. But other than that, we really don't know where it's going to go. Still really up in the air as to what the match at WrestleMania will be. Will it be a boxing match? Is it going to be a tag match? Not quite sure. If you had the booking reins at WWE, how would you kind of lay this out for the next few weeks?
Well, I think the gamut's really open to what they want to do. I mean, if they were to do a work boxing match, I think that one would be very difficult. Just if you look at the history, doing work boxing matches are very, very difficult. They would be able to do it within the state. I did call the Florida Boxing Commission on Monday just to see what could happen. And actually, it was pretty funny because when I laid out the scenario, they were just scratching their heads, having no idea what any of this would pertain to them. But nonetheless, they said if it was within WWE, it would be a green light. So, I mean, they could legitimately do a shoot boxing match, which we are not going to see. I think if you build this up as a fight, as a legitimate fight, I think that is where the value is in this. Everyone looks at Floyd Mayweather. They know he's pound for pound, probably the top fighter boxer in the world. And if you look up and down the WWE roster, I think in 2008, where mixed martial arts is so big right now, you look at wrestlers and generally think most of them probably wouldn't last that long in a legitimate fight. But two things have happened lately. I mean, one was Brock Lesnar, who went in there, and I think for anyone who sampled that fight, saw that, hey, this guy who, even though he's an amateur wrestler, they're still watching him as a professional wrestler, hang there with Frank Mir for 90 seconds, and then if you look at the roster right now, Big Show is one guy who I think enough wrestling fans would say, well, if it was a real fight, I'm sure Big Show could handle himself. So I think you really have to build this up as a fight, and you have the size disparity between the two men. And, you know, you do the training videos. You put it almost as like an all-access type of preview show, as I would think you would want to use as vignettes for this. And it leads up to the fight with Mayweather and Big Show. And the question now becomes is, can Mayweather work a match? Because that's where this could fall apart. But in terms of the hype, which is going to sell the pay-per-views, I think it's pretty much written for the WWE that it would take a colossal effort to screw this up.
I'm predicting this will break all pay-per-view buys, just given
what I think so too.
Given what he did with De La Hoya and Hatton, I know that was a little less than what he generated with De La Hoya, but you can't discount, you know, what De La Hoya means to especially the Latino fan base. But, you know, you brought up a great point because I was actually just watching some of the old episodes of 24/7, and he is so effective in there as a heel. I mean, he actually says on the first episode, in the first segment of the first 24/7, him and De La Hoya, he says, I know I'm the bad guy, I'm okay with that. And he's so damn effective as a heel. Of course, I'm talking about Floyd Mayweather. Do you think it's a mistake that they're building him up now as a babyface, as a good guy?
Yeah, they're going to have trouble with that because Floyd Mayweather is a much more effective heel. And I think in that sense, if you were to have done the Mayweather-Mysterio match, you wouldn't necessarily have that problem as you do with Big Show. And I really do see that this is going to be one of those fights where, or wrestling match, where I think the build-up to it, I think it still can be effective in that if you just present these two guys as, you know, unbeatable forces who are going to meet in a match where it's a very simple concept of two men who are going to have a match. There's going to be a winner. There's going to be a loser. And I think the heel face dynamic, I don't worry so much about it because I think that this is going to sell itself just in the interest between the two. And in that sense, it's going to be very interesting to see how many times they put Floyd out in front of a live crowd. I don't think he's going to be out there every Monday night for Raw. I think they're going to be, it's going to be a lot of packages, and you'll probably get maybe two or three appearances before Mania. So you're not going to necessarily get the crowd just booing him. But based on Monday, it seemed like the crowd was already set to turn on Mayweather, which is going to be natural when you are presenting, you know, pro wrestling taking on an invading force, so to speak.
Okay, so what about all this talk that it's not going to be a singles match and it's actually going to be Mysterio and Mayweather, excuse me, against Show and Shane McMahon? Dave Meltzer was the first one to sort of report on this Monday evening, but we haven't really seen anything in that direction other than, you know, the sort of building of the relationship between Mayweather and Mysterio, and then also Shane McMahon coming out of the gorilla position after the whole melee at No Way Out. Are you hearing that it's actually going to be that tag team match, or as their initial press release stated, it's going to be Show versus Mayweather at WrestleMania 24?
Well, everything that's been indicated to me is that they're going ahead with this as a singles match. I think it's an ambitious front for the WWE to put these two in a singles match with Mayweather's lack of experience. But from everything that they've stated thus far, and I mean, they shot an angle last night at the SmackDown tapings where it would indicate that Mysterio is going for surgery, and just seeing like the visual of that biceps tear that Mysterio suffered, I really hope he is going to end up going for surgery, because this is really this worth it, the payoff for them that's going to result in Mysterio possibly damaging his arm forever.
Yeah, I think that because you have this huge size difference between the two guys, you can kind of get away with the fact that Mayweather is not so experienced in the ring. But if you had Mysterio in there and they're sort of the same size, I think it would have fallen apart a lot quicker than if you have Show, because you could do all those spots with the giant going up against the smaller guy. And speaking of having that visual of the giant going up against the smaller guy, there seems to be some sort of discrepancy out in the internet or in wrestling circles as to whether or not Mayweather actually broke Show's nose at No Way Out. If you ask me, I think he did it. Everything that I've read leads me to believe that he actually was unable to pull his punch or didn't know how to pull his punch and actually did break his nose. Can you confirm to us right now that he actually did break his nose? Because a lot of my non-wrestling fans are calling me a complete idiot for believing that.
I believe his nose was broken. I mean, it looked like, I'm fairly certain that what was planned was that Mayweather was going to go out there and, you know, pull your punch or whatever, but I'm sure Big Show was, you know, well aware that, hey, this guy isn't a worker. If you're going to hit me, hit me. But, I mean, to me, that visual of Big Show leaving the ring where he was all bloodied up from the nose, I thought that, to me, sold the angle. It just was a great visual to start off the angle. And if it is legit, which I do believe it was a legit break there, it just sets it up so much that enough wrestling fans who watch this are aware, okay, this was a storyline, but that had to have been a legit shot. And suddenly you get those people questioning. And, I mean, that's the kind of interest that I think really builds this up well. If the WWE wants to push this as a legit fight between a legit fighter and, for lack of a better term, a worked professional wrestler.
You know why I love wrestling so much? It's because you can bring in outsiders like Floyd Mayweather, like Kevin Federline, and if done correctly, or Andy Kaufman back in the day, if done correctly, you can incorporate them into storylines that would actually generate interest and hopefully pay-per-view buy rates. Unlike the other sports, you know, MMA fans are still not over the fact that, you know, Brock Lesnar is coming to our sport, or, you know, boxing fans will be upset, or even Kimbo Slice coming in. People are just so, you know, there are these purists out there that just get so hung up on all this stuff where, you know, you can't come into my territory. I'm guessing you tend to agree with me where, you know, even the fact that a guy like Mayweather obviously has never wrestled before and probably will never wrestle after WrestleMania, it doesn't bother you that he's going to be stealing the spotlight in the biggest show, the Super Bowl event of the year for wrestling, right?
If any performer on that WrestleMania card is complaining that Mayweather is coming in for this big payday for WrestleMania, then they've definitely got to take their head out of the sand, because a lot of these guys are going to get the biggest payoff of their career on that night because of Floyd Mayweather Jr. Like, make no mistake about it. I don't care what match goes on last, whether it's Edge and Taker or the three-way. The main event for WrestleMania is Big Show and Floyd Mayweather Jr. And specifically, that's, you know, 90% Floyd Mayweather Jr. bringing a ton of interest, because you put Big Show in there with anyone else on the WWE roster right now, it's not doing any added buys for WrestleMania. Floyd Mayweather is going to bring a ton of press to this event, and by doing so, a lot of money for these guys. So I don't think that it's a logical argument to look at Floyd Mayweather coming in as a negative. It's going to bring a ton of publicity to the WWE, and therefore, you know, as he said, I think this one will top last year's Mania, which did 1.2 million buys.
I know I'm totally putting you on the spot here, but have you heard of any numbers as to what he's actually being paid for this appearance? I mean, this is a guy who's used to, you know, making $20 to $30 million about when everything's said and done. Do you have any idea as to what the McMahons are offering him for the next 5 years?
Oh yeah, I'm sure Mayweather is not coming in cheap. I don't know an exact figure, but when you look at what Mike Tyson commanded, it was $3.5 million, and that was about 4 or 5 television appearances plus WrestleMania, where he was simply doing, you know, the referee spot. I mean, for Mayweather to come in, I would imagine they have him doing about 3 to 4 TVs, and then of course Mania. So I would have to think that Mayweather's coming in for no less than 3-4 million, and maybe that's on the conservative side. What really shocked me on Sunday was the fact that with Mayweather throwing those shots at Big Show, and we know from watching 24/7, the status of Floyd Mayweather's hands are very, very brittle, and to be throwing shoot punches at a guy bare-knuckled, I mean, that's putting Mayweather at risk heavily. Like, could you imagine if Mayweather were to suffer a hand injury and screw up that De La Hoya fight for September, how many millions that would cost him? So it's a very interesting you know, from Floyd Mayweather's perspective, why is Floyd doing this? There's tons to gain from the WWE side, but for Floyd Mayweather, is tapping into the pro wrestling audience really going to add that much interest to his Oscar De La Hoya fight in September? I don't know if there's really that crossover, and maybe this is just Floyd, that it was something that was presented to him and being a fan of wrestling wanted to do, but there comes a lot of risk on Mayweather's side.
You know, in all my excitement about all this angle, I actually never even thought of that. I mean, unbelievable point. I mean, he has this potential obvious huge payday coming up in December against De La Hoya in that rematch, and you're right, why, you have to wonder why he's doing it. The only thing I could think of is, here's a guy who knows that he'll only have to start training in maybe October of this year, maybe kind of bored. I mean, he did get involved in Dancing with the Stars. That was only a few months before, actually only a couple months before the Hatton fight, and while he's obviously not putting himself in the same kind of, you know, danger in terms of his body with Dancing in the Stars, I guess it's a guy who just realizes that right now it's his time to shine and he's got to get himself out there. Leonard Elby, his manager, is definitely a smart guy when it comes to promoting a fighter. So you have to think that the reason why he's doing it is just to try to get his name out there and keep busy in the public limelight. I want to ask you about some of the other matches at WrestleMania because, you know, like I said, this is the granddaddy of them all, and there are definitely some other interesting matches of note. For me, right under Mayweather and Show, and it's a distant second, but still very intriguing, is Undertaker and Edge, just because you have the two undefeated streaks. Obviously, nitpickers will say that Edge lost a couple of the Money in the Bank matches, but never was pinned, so his undefeated streak is firmly in place. How do you foresee this one going? Because we all know how much McMahon respects Undertaker, how much he wants to keep that streak alive until he retires. But yeah, you have Edge, the champ, and the guy who has a lot of momentum behind him. If you were booking, once again, how would you lay this one out?
Right now, I look at the Undertaker streak as it's that one sort of legitimate streak that wrestling fans attach themselves to. I mean, it's when you're comparing WWE to sports, there's very few parallels when it comes to stuff. It's not like you can look at a guy and say, oh, well, this guy has this many wins and he's won that many titles. It doesn't mean a whole hell of a lot. There's only a few of those little statistics that I think fans really care about, and the Undertaker's streak is one of them. And it's something that I think, I mean, years ago, I was a big advocate that, you know, Taker's got to lose at WrestleMania. That should be, you know, where he puts a guy over. I thought it would be done a few years back with Randy Orton. But as the years have gone on and he's got to this point now, I think that it's almost, it would leave people on such a sour note for him to lose at Mania. So I would put Undertaker over for the title, and likely this would probably be his last run, but who knows? We've been saying that for a number of years. I can't fault Taker because the guy still works very hard, and I think is a character that fans still really get behind. I don't think he's the draw of someone like a John Cena or even a Rock or Austin. He was never at that level, but, you know, neither are a lot of guys right now in the WWE that have had title runs in the last couple of years, including Triple H. So for that match, I think going into it, I think that match should go on last myself, because I think that one is the one that people are going to have the most interest in. They should really push the fact that neither man has lost at WrestleMania. And for Edge, it even works in as a heel, saying that I never lost last year, and, you know, claiming that, you know, I've never lost at Mania, putting his, you know, streak of 4 or 5 wins up against Undertaker's, you know, multiple wins over the last 16 years. So I think that, to me, has a definite tie-in. I mean, you always have that storyline with Undertaker come Mania. So I think he will go over for the title, and that'll be your last match at Mania to close off the show.
I actually have to disagree with you. I think that if Undertaker loses at WrestleMania to Edge, he really loses nothing in his career. People will never remember that, oh, you know, he lost that match at WrestleMania 24. And when I think of Edge, while he's doing great things, and I think he's grown leaps and bounds over the last couple of years, I really think that when I look at guys like John Cena, even almost a Randy Orton, and some of the other guys who have held the belt in the last few years, I, for some reason, don't view Edge at that caliber just yet. And I think a win over Undertaker at WrestleMania 24, breaking the streak and everything that goes with it, would really propel him into that status and something that he could kind of, you know, brag about for the next few months or so. So I really think that a win for him would actually do a lot more than a win for Undertaker, but I guess we'll agree to disagree on that one. And you touched on the triple threat match, and I've been very critical of triple threat matches in WrestleMania, specifically for a title. I mean, I never understood why anyone would do it. I hated the WrestleMania 20 triple threat match. Even though it was a great match, I just didn't like the concept behind it. And it bugs me that just because it's always Triple H, and a lot of people love to rip on Triple H due to his, you know, relationship with the McMahons and everything, but just that, how he kind of sort of weaseled his way into that match, just bugs me. What's your take on the triple threat match and how it's been set up over the last month or so?
I mean, I from the get-go, when Cena came back, I thought Cena Orton, that should be your main event for WrestleMania. I thought I think those two guys represent your top babyface and top heel, not just on Raw, but in the entire company right now. Adding Triple H to the mix is something that, I mean, when you look at it, why is Triple H in this main event? He's in it because of being Triple H. I mean, he really hasn't been linked to the title picture for some time now, coming off No Mercy, where he had the one-night title win. I think if I had been booking things over the last few months, looking at how everything's turned out right now, I would have had Jeff Hardy go over at the Royal Rumble, winning the world title, then he defends it at No Way Out, where he defeats, I guess you could throw in, I don't know where you would have put Jeff Hardy in that kind of in-between pay-per-view, but a successful title defense, maybe even do a rematch with Orton. And then come WrestleMania, you could even have done Hardy versus, you know, Cena and Triple H, almost in a triple threat match, or throwing Orton in the mix there. And Jeff Hardy, it's almost the storyline that everyone's expecting him to drop the title, but keeps it anyway. And I think that would have been almost the most ideal position, because with John Cena, I don't see them putting on the title on him at this point right now, because he does still have to film that movie. What most likely I see happening here is Triple H beats Orton, and then you still have Triple H and John Cena down the road. But Triple H, to me, is just, he's a very good worker. I'm never going to knock his work, but in terms of being a character, I've just found him to be a very flat character. He's someone that is booked like a very strong heel, but he's a babyface. He just, no matter what insurmountable odds he's under, he always defeats them. We've seen in the last couple of months, I mean, that one angle they did on Raw where he just nailed, you know, London and Kendrick taking them out, and Umaga, just everyone thrown in front of Triple H. It's just boom, he beats them. There's no sympathy for this guy. There's no doubt if this guy is going to overcome the odds. There's no, you know, babyface chanting for him, because I don't think people necessarily have any doubt what the finish is going to be with Triple H winning the title. And I'm not captivated by Triple H in that top role. And I see Jeff Hardy, who no matter when he's beaten, he's someone that the fans have clearly gotten behind, and the WWE has done a good job. I thought they protected him well in the Elimination Chamber, but he's a guy the fans, much like with Rob Van Dam in 2001, have clearly got behind. They're saying, push this guy, we will get behind him, and there's only so high that they're going to put Jeff Hardy. He, to me, is, you know, Triple H of all people has always stated that, you know, if you want to be a star, you have to go out, you got to grab the ball and run with it. And what more can Jeff Hardy do than what he's done in the last 3 months?
Yeah, unlike other, you know, fans or other journalists, the wrestling journalists, I really don't care about all the backstage stuff. I don't care the fact that he's married to Stephanie. He just doesn't do it for me as a character. Like, he is,
no,
he's
it's,
changed the channel character. I have no interest in seeing him overcome the odds and chasing the title. I just really don't care. And you mentioned John Cena, and I really think a John Cena and Jeff Hardy match at WrestleMania would have fully propelled Cena into heel status, whether or not the WWE wants to admit it or not. And I'm always scratching my head as to why they don't just pull the trigger and make him a heel. I mean, he has that Rock ability. He talks like The Rock. He acts like The Rock. And when The Rock turned heel at the Survivor Series, fully turned heel with McMahon screwing Mankind, Mick Foley, it really cemented him as one of the biggest badass heels of the last few years. And obviously we know what it did for him for the rest of his career. So is the only reason why he hasn't turned heel yet, and clearly the fans want to boo the guy, is it because of all the movies and the commercials and all those appearances, and they were kind of waiting for that to ride out and then they'll turn him heel?
I think it's a lot of reasons. I mean, I don't really mind the role that Cena's in right now, because he brings such an interesting dynamic to all of his matches, whether he's a babyface or a heel. He's one of those guys that is almost, when it comes to pay-per-views, is both, really. I mean, there's fans that'll just boo him out of the building, and then there's other nights on Raw where he's cheered out of the building. And I think it makes for one of the few really interesting characters that any match you put him in is likely going to get a lot of heat with it. And I think that really helped his matches with Randy Orton over on Sunday at No Way Out and then Monday on Raw, because you watch them. It wasn't a tremendous match by any stretch, but it's kind of blinded when the crowd is so into these two performers. So I think with John Cena, he's a guy that just sells a ridiculous amount of merchandise. He's the reason that house show attendance is where it's at right now. And he's the guy that they've pegged as that top babyface role. And if you were to take him out of there, I think they are squeamish of putting Jeff Hardy as that number one babyface, or even Triple H. To me, I don't see him as the babyface that can carry Raw.
All right, so the last match before we let you go, the last big match that we really know about is HBK and Ric Flair. Obviously, they sort of started it with HBK introducing Ric Flair as the first member of the class of 2008 Hall of Fame class, and I was fully expecting Flair to come out and then and HBK would super kick him and then we'd be on our way with that angle. And I think that even though there's only 5 weeks left in building that angle, it was a perfect time to do it. Nevertheless, they didn't do it, and it seems as though they'll probably go into Mania as two faces. That leads me to think, why are they doing this? Why not give it to MVP? Why not give it to Mr. Kennedy and give that guy the rub in defeating Ric Flair? Want to ask you two questions. A, what do you think of HBK being paired with Flair in this supposed last match of his career, and B, if you were booking it, would you actually have Flair lose? I mean, everyone's expecting Flair to lose at WrestleMania, and we know that in the last few months or so, Vince likes to, you know, when he knows that the internet is onto something, he sort of likes to swerve them, sort of like with the whole Rob Van Dam leaving and then having him lose and actually win in his last match. So if you were booking or what you expect from WWE, would you actually have Flair lose at WrestleMania?
Yeah, this angle, I mean, when you look back at how it started in October and putting him in with Randy Orton the first night, I've really just lost so much interest in this angle. I mean, it could have been done so well. I remember when it was first executed, and I thought of like 10 ideas in like the first couple of hours of how they could make this end, and they all were way better than the way it's turning out right now. I mean, I think with MVP and Kennedy, the ship has sort of sailed with those two performers in terms of being placed as that guy. I did think ideally it would be the best thing was for Flair to lose on his way out and put somebody over, but it looks now that they are going in the Flair-Michaels direction. I fully expect it. They're going to go in as two baby faces, and it's going to be Michaels having to rattle him begrudgingly. I anticipate they'll do something where Vince was just going to tell Michaels, well, you're going to have to wrestle your hero and throw in some stipulation where if Michaels loses, there's something for him to lose, and Flair obviously losing his career. So that's from a match standpoint, I think it should be a great match, and with Flair going into the Hall of Fame, that'll be an added touch to make that Hall of Fame very, very intriguing. In fact, if they're going to go that direction, I think almost Michaels might even be pegged as the guy to induct him, because I clearly see this is going to be built similar to the Triple H match, where it's two friends who don't necessarily want to wrestle each other, and it's not the way I would have booked it. What's really interesting, though, is Hulk Hogan now making more waves, stating that he wants to wrestle Ric Flair at WrestleMania. And if I'm Vince McMahon right now, as a businessman and adding buys to WrestleMania, there's no question in my mind that it would be Flair Hogan at WrestleMania, and Flair goes over at WrestleMania.
Really? So you would actually bring in Hogan despite everything and bring him in there when really he hasn't been seen for the last few months? He made that one appearance building up American Gladiators, but due to their rocky relationship, Vince has no problem putting all that aside, but do you think it's good for his business to bring Hogan back in that role?
I think for WrestleMania, if you're telling people, that, you know, teasing that this is going to be Flair's retirement match and Flair Hogan, as it's not your main event, it's in the mid-card, I think that's the match I would definitely go with. And I would have Flair go over, because that's the one thing fans have really never seen Flair go over Hogan. And I think most would be anticipating that he would lose to Hogan. And I would definitely have him go over Hogan. I would by no means think that Hogan should win that match. And Hogan's at a position right now where if Vince pretty much controls the strings. It's usually always been the reverse with Hogan and kind of calling his own shots. At this point right now, it's very, very evident that Hogan wants back in right now. He wants that Mania payday, and I think Vince can essentially name his price and how it's going to go down with Ric Flair, because to me, that match to me draws a lot more than Michaels and Flair. As good a match as Flair and Michaels might be, that's really not what it is what it's about at the end of the day. And then if he goes over Hogan, you can still save, you know, his retirement for one of those B-level pay-per-views that could use the added boost, and you could even put Flair in that main event.
So then what do you do with Shawn Michaels, though? Do you put him in, like, a Money in the Bank or something like that?
Well, that's the thing. It's, Shawn's always been pegged with Flair, and another guy who's, like, odd man out is Batiste. No program on the horizon. I thought for sure that he'd be involved with something with Big Show, and maybe he was until this whole Mysterio injury came down. But Michaels and Batista are two guys that, if you're going to put Hogan into that match, then yeah, Michaels is on the outs there. I wouldn't put either of those guys into Money in the Bank just because it's almost a step down for both guys right now. They're at that main event level. They don't need to be in Money in the Bank, and you're taking off two spots of guys who could really use that spot. So, To be honest, though, I really don't foresee Hogan being put onto Mania just because of problems with Vince. And it's the match I would book, but don't necessarily see happening. So I'm sure Michaels is going to be the one in that match. And the fact they went ahead and already have begun to plant the seeds for that angle on Monday suggests that that is where they're going to go. But Batista is the big question mark. And I don't know if you have any ideas of what to do with Batista. He seems... you know, a man without a program for the biggest show of the year.
He really does, and the thought of him and Michaels going up against each other, we've never actually even seen these two guys really interact a couple times backstage recently, but I think, and they also have this sort of clash of styles that I think would work very well in a match. Might not be enough time to build it up properly, but I would definitely not, I'm not a huge Batista fan. I always kind of find his matches boring, even the ones with The Undertaker, as good as they were, considering who was involved, but never really did much for me. But I think a match with Michaels where Michaels can actually bring out the best in him would actually be very intriguing. But nonetheless, a lot of intriguing things to look out for in the next 5 months. John, 5 weeks. John, thank you so much for taking the time out. I know you're really busy and talking a little wrestling with us. Anything of note on the horizon in the next couple of days on Fight Network Radio that we should know about?
Yeah, on Thursday, we're going to be having your pal, Kurt Angle, on Fight Network Radio to chat about all the goings-on in TNA, Pros versus Joes, Destination X coming up. And, yeah, so tune into that. That's Thursday, 3 p.m. Eastern on Hardcore Sports Radio on Channel 186.
Awesome. Right before the big TNA debut in New York City. So that should be very interesting.
Yeah.
To hear from Kurt.
Are you going to some of those shows?
I will be going to the TNA debut at the Webster Hall. Kind of a small venue. I was expecting them to book something a little bigger for their first appearance in New York. But nonetheless, I will be checking it out for the first time, even though they've sort of banned me from talking to all their wrestlers. I will be going out there to support Kurt.
Hey, dude, you and me can join the club.
Exactly. John, thanks so much for doing this, and like always, great talking to you.
All right, anytime, Ariel. Take it easy.